On Friday, I spoke. Does anyone remember what the topic was? Silence. It was all about, there are times in when God seems to be silent. And when we look at Easter Friday, and I love the rawness of Friday, it was almost like, and this is my mind, it was almost like God stepped back from Jesus and said, you've got to do this on your own. And Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he cried out to God three times. And it makes no mention that God said anything. You know, when Jesus was tempted after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he went through that trial period. And then the angels came and ministered to him. In the garden, nothing, nada, squat. He's there alone. God has disappeared by, you know, so that Jesus could continue that part, take on the sins of the world and carry all the stuff that we have done to deal with it as a perfect sacrifice for once and for all. Jesus cried out on the cross and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why dost thou forsake me? Why dost thou forsake me? He gave up his life and he died. There was an earthquake, the ground shook, and it says that the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. See, it was silence, but God was still working. God was still actually working. And I want to talk about that today. My topic today is speak, because God wants to speak. And God was speaking through that situation. When he tore that curtain from top to bottom, they say that that curtain was about 18 meters tall. It doesn't actually say in the Bible how long it had to be. Actually, it does say how long it had to be, but it doesn't say how thick it was. They think it was about 4 inches thick and about 18 meters high. It was ripped from top to bottom. So you're talking about a curtain that is about that thick getting torn from top to bottom, from a tremendous height to the ground. Why? Because that curtain separated an area in the temple, which was called the Holies, from the Holy of Holies, where God's Ark of Covenant was, where God was. And the curtain was there to picture that man was separated from God. Man couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Only a priest could go in once a year, and they would tie a rope around the priest's leg, because if he wasn't holy enough to be in there, he basically would be smoked. Only a person in the right standing with God could come before God into the Holy of Holies. The curtain was ripped from top to bottom, signifying that not that man could go out in, but God had come out. God had escaped. God, the separation between man and God was no more. God wanted to speak face to face, personally to us, straight to our heart, not through a man, not through a priest once a year making sacrifices, or, you know, in a room on behalf of mankind, but directly from God to every one of us. Isn't that incredible? We can feel God. God is speaking through his Holy Spirit. And so, just the most exciting story after that is that, as I said, the disciples and followers, Mary, and it seems like half the Bible was Mary's at that point in time. If your name is Mary, you're a blessed person. They were distraught because they didn't understand. But what was cool was Jesus was taken down from the cross. He was put in a tomb. And on this day, it says that Mary ran to see Jesus. And it says, after the Sabbath, this is Matthew 28, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. That I want to see. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay," or laid, we would say. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me there." An earthquake, an empty tomb, and a realization that Jesus had risen. Isn't that exciting? But God was still speaking, because Jesus would appear to many, many people, and then before he ascended into heaven, he gave what we call the Great Commission, where he said, and we know this forwards and backwards because we hear it all the time here and other places, "Go into the world and preach the gospel and tell them about me and lead them to me and baptize them and teach them about my ways." Is that right? It's not the exact wording, but it's what Jesus meant, isn't it? Teach people about me, baptize them, teach them my ways. God was still not finished speaking. Acts chapter 2, we know that God came down, and I'll read it out. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole earth, the whole house where they were sitting." Sorry, it's a bit smaller than the earth, one house. "They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled." Wow. And that is how God speaks with us, isn't it? His Holy Spirit that fell on the disciples, that did such a visible work, that tongues of fire that fell on them and kind of fell on them and in them and gave them boldness and the power to instantly, instead of being hidden away in a house fearful, actually go and speak to multitudes of people and go on to just about every single one of them lay down their lives. They weren't scared. They went with excitement in a weird kind of way. They went to their death because they knew beyond doubt that Jesus had risen from the grave. He had risen from the dead. We can have a lot of confidence in that. So who is God speaking to today? He's speaking to two people. He's speaking to the lost. He's calling them. He wants the lost. He wants the lost to be found. And he's speaking to the found. So what is he saying to them? To the lost, he's saying, come. To the found, he's saying, go. To us, he's saying, go to the lost and tell them and bring them to me. Teach them my ways. Baptize them. It's cool. We got a baptism in a couple of weeks, eh? There's a couple getting baptized. One sitting over here, Andrew over here, who Andrew incidentally has done these two amazing pictures that are at the side of the stage. He's very talented, isn't he? Thank you, Andrew. It's, God is wanting to call the lost, and he's using us, the found, to do it. So that's our challenge, and that's where I'm going to leave it today, is that is our job. This year, from here on, for the rest of the year, for the rest of our lives, will we commit as found people to find the lost people, to help make them found people? I'll pray. Father, we thank you that we were lost and now we're found. Thank you, Jesus, that we were lost and through you dying and being risen again, that we are able to be found and come into your presence. We love you. Band and choir can come, please. We love you. Equip us. Help us. Continue to give us love for people that don't know you yet, so that we can go and do our job, Father, and journey with us. In Jesus' name, amen.